You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. Wildcard weekend is upon us. It should be a lot of fun to see what is about to happen. We talked about it all year, but now we're in the, I would say, the best single elimination tournament that you can find. Should be a lot of fun to see what happens.
No doubt. We are going to go through these games, preview the games, what we're looking forward to seeing. Should be an awesome weekend of football. Looking forward to it. There's storylines that are rich. I don't know that I can ever remember a year where in this opening round of the playoffs, there were so many crazy storylines connecting these teams and in these matchups. So we will jump into those all individually as we go through the games. I did just want to point out one thing here, and then we can get rolling. But the offseason story, and we've mentioned it, it's going to be the Bears with the first overall pick, having Justin Fields there, what that decision looks like for them, what direction do they decide to go. I just wanted to provide a little context, and then we kind of talk about it briefly, and then we can move on. But I had said, and I had tweeted out, actually it was a video, and then Bears fans lost their minds. But I just talked about the financial advantages of resetting the clock. And they were hot and bothered about that and upset and said, no, it's not that much difference, blah, 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 blah. Don't make a decision for financial reasons, which wasn't really my point. My point was that's part of the calculus. If you have, you always should be on the hunt for a great quarterback. And, you know, everybody can, you can agree to disagree on where Justin is at this point in time. But I think it kind of speaks for itself somewhat that he's gotten better. He's become a good quarterback, one of the 32 best in the league, and I think he'll have an opportunity to start somewhere. But here are the numbers on the salary side of it, which, again, you would use that savings to supplement the rest of your roster. And I reached out to an agency and had them pull the numbers so they could be accurate here. And this was the comparison. I said, let's assume he got the Daniel Jones contract, Justin did, which you would get, you know, going into your final year. You never want to go into the last year of your deal. And then let's forecast what those numbers would be if they were just the Daniel Jones deal compared to what the projected cost of the first overall pick next year would be. And the numbers look like this, Buck. In 24, Justin doesn't cost you that much. $6 million. I've got the down to the dollar figure on here, but a little over $6 million. Then let's say he did the three-year Daniel Jones deal, right? That would be, so that's $40 million each of 25, 26, and 27 for a total cash output of $126 million from 24 to 27. 126, so remember that. If you look at the projection of what the first overall pick will be next year, $6.9 million in 24, $8.7 in 25, $10.4 in 26, $12.1, and again, I have this down to the dollar in 27. Total cash, $38,336,865. So you're talking about a difference of $126 million versus $38 million. It's significant. That's all. That's the point that I was trying to make. It is a significant savings if you reset the clock. So I just want to put some numbers to that to kind of clarify that for people that say we didn't do our homework, or say I didn't do my homework on that.
Well, look, it's a significant savings at the quarterback position if you have a young guy on a rookie deal. The San Francisco 49ers have shown us how impactful it can be when you have guys on rookie contracts. Jared York talked about, without Brock Purdy being on his rookie deal, they probably wouldn't have been able to sign guys like Javon Hargrave and some of the other free agents that they've been able to bring in. And the Bears situation is interesting because a lot of people have painted it as an all, an either-or situation. Yeah. It's either keep Justin Fields and bypass Caleb Williams, potentially, or get rid of Justin Fields and take on Caleb Williams. We had a discussion before the pod kicked off on, it's not imminent that you have to get rid of Justin Fields right now. You read off the numbers that it's $6 million for him in 2024. Mm-hmm. That is kind of like reasonable money for a backup quarterback. Regardless of whether you bring in Caleb Williams or not, like, you're going to need a backup quarterback. You would have an opportunity if you elected to keep Justin Fields based on not getting a trade offer that kind of wows you. Let's say you're holding out on a second round pick, but the only thing that comes are like fourth and fifths. At that point, you keep Justin Fields, you bring in the quarterback. We'll just say Caleb, we'll use Caleb Williams as a name.
Yeah.
You bring in the quarterback. You now have an opportunity to slowly integrate the quarterback into the mix. And when he's ready to take it over and it's clear and apparent that he's better than just you hand him the ball and then you go forward. And then in 2025, Justin Fields is not on your roster. So look, I know people don't like to hear that, but we talk about collectively the two of them at $6 million and then whatever his first year deal, it won't even be a fraction of what a starting quarterback is. Yeah, and so there are options. There are options that are available to Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears. And they should be able, they should explore every avenue when it comes to building the team out.
Yeah, he would be at $6,004,712, whereas the first overall pick would be at $6,972,173. So you're talking about, if you 6.9. So you're talking about $13 million. So it's not, I don't think it's crazy. Now, you got the locker room to factor in there who's very, very much behind Justin. Hey, if you draft Caleb Williams and all of a sudden Justin Fields becomes Superman and took his game to a whole nother level, that's a good problem to have. The goal was to get great quarterback play at the end of the day.
That is the goal, to get great quarterback play. And DJ, it dates us a little bit, but I just go back to the Chargers, then the San Diego Chargers, having Drew Brees in place, who was a top of the – look, he was a top second of the second round pick. They draft Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is in the building. Drew Brees plays and plays at a Pro Bowl level. So they have to bring him back for another year. And then after that second year, they hand it over to Phillip Rivers.
He got hurt. Yeah, he got hurt.
He got hurt at the end in the playoff game, but he did it. But bringing Phillip Rivers kind of prompted Drew Brees to take his game up a notch. Mm-hmm. If you're the team, your job is to, we need the best performance that we can get out of the quarterback position, regardless of who it is. Like, and that's the goal. And so if we always talk about it, and everyone always talks about quarterback is the most important position. Well, I would think that you would throw resources at the most important position because it typically determines who wins or loses games in the National Football League. So make sure that you have your bases covered. And so rather than rush into it and make a decision now, look, man, I think you wait. You have time on your side. If you're the Chicago Bears, just see. And if you get an offer that wows you, yeah, you move on and make it easy. But if you don't, I'm just saying, if you don't
give
an
anybody
offer,
away, don't give them away.
Just don't give them away. You just hold on to them because you talked about having two quarterbacks, two young quarterbacks at a value of $13 million. It's not enough to make you move the needle.
No, it's going to be an interesting, man. Again, we'll have plenty of time to get into all this as we get into the spring, but big decisions awaiting Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears. All right, let's jump into some of these games here. Let's rip through them. Browns, Texans, it's a rematch. CJ Stroud did not play in the first meeting. The Browns got after him. Joe Flacco threw for a zillion yards. Houston struggled offensively. That was Cooper had 265 yards in that game. So those are some of the factors to start off with here. Joe Flacco's 5-0 in wild card games, by the way, going up against a rookie in CJ Stroud, who, for all intents and purposes, won his first playoff game last week.
Yeah, he's fantastic. But now, DJ, when you start getting into the postseason, everything happens faster. And for CJ Stroud, who really has he's acclimated to what we call regular season ball. The playoffs are a different animal. Not saying that he can't handle it, but it's a different animal. It'll be faster. It'll take some time for the Texans to adjust to that speed and those things. And I'm going to be honest with you. He's playing a defense that is nightmarish to face. The one thing that the Cleveland Browns are able to do is they can rush the passer and they can play sticky man-to-man. I remember looking at the stats and they talked about no other team played as much man-to-man as the Cleveland Browns. They were playing man-to-man on over 50% of their snaps, and they were bringing five-man pressures on a bunch of those. DJ, having to deal with pressure plus challenging guys to win and create separation and get tight man-to-man, a lot of things have to go right. It's a tough matchup for the Houston Texans because the Browns are talented. They have a great defense. And on offense, they have a red-hot quarterback who doesn't mind pushing the ball down the field. So they're going to test them in a bunch of different ways.
So this was brought up to me by a defensive coach yesterday when we were talking about this game and what we thought would happen. And he said, go pull up, if you get a chance, go back and watch Stroud, who's been awesome. He said, Stroud, he has torn up zone teams, torn them up. He's been phenomenal. How quick he processes, accurate, bam, ball gone. But I'm just pulled it up right now. He goes, go back and look up the Jets game, who played man-to-man and locked them up. And they lost 30-6 in that game. Stroud was 10 of 23 for 91 yards and got sacked four times. That's the Browns' blueprint. Now, can they do it? You know, is that what they end up doing here? We'll see. But, I mean, I think that is the blueprint to keep an eye on. That would be the one concern there if I'm Houston, who played great last week.
Look, that's the concern. And when you get ready for the playoffs, man, you look at every tape. And you're looking to see what's the kryptonite for all of these teams, all of these quarterbacks. And if you're telling me that performance was one that stood out, of all the performances that he had this year, particularly when he had an outstanding year, you want to replicate some of those things to see if he's handled it. And if he hasn't, he's going to get a steady dose of it. The Browns not only can copy that blueprint, but they have the players that can execute the blueprint. And so it's going to be a challenge. If CJ Stroud is able to navigate this team and play at a higher level, then I think we deserve to throw those flowers at him as a superstar at the position.
Real quick, if you're the Ravens sitting back, who would you rather play between those two?
The Texans. I don't want to play the Browns. Yeah. I don't want to play the Browns for a few different reasons. One, the familiarity, because it's a division rival. They've already played twice, and Cleveland has a win against him. Mm-hmm. Two, and I want to say this, but like the Joe Flacco factor. the only thing that I would say about Joe Flacco being able to go back to Baltimore is, when you're the Baltimore Ravens and you're playing against an experienced playoff quarterback, Joe Flacco heading into wildcard weekend is 10-5 in the postseason. He has 25 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. He has won a Super Bowl with a remarkable run where he had 11 touchdowns and only one interception. Joe Flacco is old, but Joe Flacco has done it. And there is something about like these veterans that every now and then, DJ, for one day, they can turn back the clock. I would hate to see him turn back the clock at the bank. If I'm the Baltimore Ravens, yeah, give me the young guy. Let's come after him. And also, I'm going to say, I think the Cleveland Browns have more talent than the Houston Texans could present to the Baltimore Ravens. That's why it makes it a tougher matchup.
Yeah, no, it's interesting there. I'm with you on that. Dolphins, Chiefs, dude, it's going to be below zero. I mean, I wanted to give Miami a chance in this thing, that they get their offensive guys back healthy. The defense only gave up 14 on defense last week to Buffalo, even though Buffalo moved the ball up and down the field. And like, okay, maybe they get some turnovers. That speed on, even though it's cold, that speed will play. But this is buckets below zero. I have a hard time seeing how Miami is going to function in that.
DJ, it's not a lot of fun. Cold weather game.
What's the coldest you've played in, by the way?
Not zero. I think we played, it was like 20-something in New England on Championship Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, DJ, like all these guys that talk about, because I've heard Christian Wilkins talk about, oh, it's a no-sleeves day or whatever.
Oh, DJ, no.
Take me as someone who did that silliness, who was like, we can go out there, we can show them how tough we are. DJ, I spent the entire first half distracted. The only thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to be on the hot bench. And I wanted to be by the blower, the fan that blows the hot air. And without having sleeves, the only thing I could think about when running on the field is, I can't wait to get back on the sideline and put on the coat. Like that's the only thing I can think about. So for all those Dolphins guys who say, oh, it doesn't matter, it does matter. And man, the ball's colder. The hits feel a little different. It's not a lot of fun playing in cold weather games. And so if the Dolphins are able to get this done in spite of the conditions, hats off to them, because Mike McDaniel will have really prepared his team to play at a high level.
Yeah, I know. Man, that's going to be a rough one. Again, Kansas City, they defensively have been outstanding. Offensively, I think they're going to come out just trying to run the ball, which is weird to say about them, but that's the case. The stat that I had on them, by the way, this week, I don't know if you saw it in the packet. I was going through the games. This one was crazy to me. Mahomes, touchdowns of 20-plus air yards from 18 to 21 with Tyreek, right? Mm-hmm. 44. 44 touchdowns from 18 to 21. And 22 and 23, two. Is that crazy? Wow. That blew my mind. He's got two touchdowns of 20-plus air yards in the last 2 years.
Well, I think what it shows you, and I'll admit, even I, and you weren't, even I underestimated, because I tried to give it a rationale of how maybe Andy Reid would view Tyreek Hill, and didn't give enough credit to the player that Tyreek Hill is. Andy Reid, for context, Andy Reid comes from Green Bay, where in Green Bay, they always believed it's the quarterback, Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, and the system that makes the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And if you're Andy Reid, you had a lot of success with Brett Favre and those guys. You go to Philadelphia, you have success with Donovan McNabb and the system. Donovan McNabb, a fringe Hall of Fame player. You have success. You go to Kansas City, you're having that success with Pat Mahomes. You may overlook the value of Tyreek Hill based on those previous successes. What those stats that you bring up tell me, you basically have played in the NBA and now you've removed a three-point shot. So yeah. Now you don't have the three-point shot. So now everything is tight and clogged up in the paint. And so you can't generate the kind of the points because everyone is in the way. For Pat Mahomes, the reason why this offense can't score, because, man, they're playing half-court basketball. And Tyreek Hill not only generated big plays for himself, but the threat of Tyreek Hill forced the safety to lean his way. So now other guys could get loose. They don't have anybody in the passing game that scares you, DJ. And so you just keep tightening the screws, on this offense, and it won't change until they get not only a rookie playmaker, an established big play threat that you have to worry about. That's the biggest issue when it comes to this offense.
No doubt. All right, Steelers, Bills, and we can go through here quick because I got us behind the clock here, but Steelers, Bills, nobody's given Pittsburgh a chance here. And I'm a little bit cautious. I get a little bit nervous when everybody says this is going to be a blowout. And again, it's going to be butt cold in Buffalo for this one. But since the Steelers put Broderick Jones into the lineup and have kind of said we're going to be a run team with these two backs, I think they have a fighting chance in this thing if they can shorten the game, run the ball, and if they can take the ball away, which Buffalo has been prone to do. Not only Josh Allen, you know, throwing some interceptions, mm-hmm. And having a fumble here or there. But James Cook is as awesome as he's been. He will put the ball on the ground. So if I'm Pittsburgh, that's my formula. I got to get a couple takeaways. It's got to go your way a little bit. Get some takeaways. And then we got to run the ball and shrink the game.
DJ, so I said, I think over the last 2 weeks, Pittsburgh has run the ball over 90 times. I think their recipe and their formula is they have to run the football like that with Najee Harris and Warren. They have to make sure that they shrink the game and not give Josh Allen multiple opportunities to score. The Josh Allen experience is one that can take you on a bit of a roller coaster ride, but this dude is so good that he can overcome whatever mistakes that he makes. We saw last week, I would say that would probably rate as a C-plus game for Josh Allen based on the amount of turnovers. But in that quick, he turned the game around, being able to make plays. Man, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you got to just find a way to kind of not make him a factor. Man, entice them to run the football. Stay deep, make them run it and give it to James Cook, but you don't want this to become a track meet because you just don't have the firepower offensively to keep up in a track meet. This has to be a low scoring game. And so you got to kind of, you know, drain the clock, make it short, short and sweet for them.
No doubt. Packers, Cowboys, that's Sunday 4:30. What do you think on this one?
What I think is there's so much pressure on the Dallas Cowboys going in.
Like, I know, man. Like when you just especially about, on Dak. Like, Dak has more pressure on him than anybody this weekend.
I mean, just has so much pressure on it because the expectations of the Cowboys. Like, there's a way where Cowboys Nation just sees a clear path to the NFC Championship game and the Niners. And the Packers are a challenging team to deal with because, DJ, we always talk about, like, there's nothing to lose, but they legitimately have nothing to lose. No. Like, Matt LaFleur, for the first time in the postseason, he could throw caution to the wind because before, they were the favorites, right? And so you get conservative and tight. Man, this is one where he can just let it rip. Hey, man, Jordan Love, we're going to push the envelope. We're going to go for it. We're going to be aggressive and those things. And I think for the Cowboys, that can be a nightmare. That's it. Playing the Dallas Cowboys at home is a tall task. They've won 16 in a row at home.
Yeah.
When they play in Jerry World, they get after you. And they not only get after you, they blow you out. I mean, it's like a 22-point differential in terms of points scored and points allowed when they're at home. I think the Green Bay Packers will make it very, very competitive for a half, but the better team will end up winning. The Dallas Cowboys will advance. But to be tighter than Cowboy fans want it early in the game.
Yeah, I think CeeDee Lamb, I think he's going to get loose here in this one. Move him around, inside, outside, getting him on the move, and Dallas will keep rolling here at home. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got two more games to get to, including our MTS Game of the Week, which is a return, a little homecoming for Matthew Stafford heading back to Detroit. We'll get to those last two games right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
It's time for the MTS Game of the Week, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. This week, it's the Rams at the Lions. The spread is -3, favoring the Lions. Over-under is 51.5. DJ, when we talk about picking games, you can't pick a better one than this. Just all the storylines. This is like a real-life soap opera that's going to play out in real time. Jared Goff taking on his former team, the Rams. Matthew Stafford taking on his former team, the Detroit Lions. You have the bitter part of it where Jared Goff is certainly disappointed and mad at his former coach, Sean McVay. You have the joyous part of it, Matthew Stafford coming home for a reunion. You have two really good offenses, intriguing defenses going. This is really an exciting matchup, man. It's going to be a tough one to call.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this is a track meet. I really do. I think this game's in the 30s. I could see it being a big-time fun shootout-type game. Matthew Stafford's got weapons, Buck. He's got experience. He's got an elite play caller, and you can flip it over to the other side. Jared Goff's got, you know, that postseason experience as well. He's got some firepower on his side. So to me, I look at it and go, okay, if it's a high-scoring game, then it comes down to, you know, late drives and who has the ball, who can make those plays late in ball games. It's hard for me not to lean towards Stafford. And McVay, that combination, and I think it's a close game late. I think that tips towards their side a little bit.
I feel you on that. Like, I mean, there have been years where I've talked about Matthew Stafford being an MVP just because of his late game comeback prowess. I mean, he is a master of orchestrating the fourth quarter comeback. I mean, you just look at his history, DJ. He's one of the best that's ever done it. You think about the Rams and the amount of confidence that they're going to have, because in these games, it comes down to the quarterback, right? The Rams are going to look on the other side, and some of those guys, not all of them, but Aaron Donald certainly knows Jared Goff and the difference in talent between Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford. Like, that's going to give him a level of confidence. The thing that can tilt the game in the Detroit Lions' favor, they have the better offensive line. Yep. And that offensive line can dominate at times. We've seen it might be the best offensive line in football. They have two backs that are at nearly 1,000 rushing yards, and David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Don't talk about that enough. They can control the game running the football. Amara St. Brown is a monster being able to go over the middle of the field. And when they're running the ball successfully, Jared Goff is one of the best quarterbacks in football. We'll know very early if the Lions are able to control the trenches, it goes in their favor. The game comes down to that. You talk about a three-point game. I see it as a three-point game. But the Lions' offensive line, in my mind, is the deciding factor. That's why I'm going to go with the Lions in this one.
Okay. Yeah. No, I maybe it's just this one game I can't get out of my head. But I just think of the Rams going into Baltimore and playing against that defense and that team.
So good.
Putting up
such
30,
a good game.
Put up 30-plus on them. Every throw was tight window, like just ridiculous. By Stafford. And then I think back to Detroit going into Baltimore and getting their teeth kicked in.
Yeah, getting run
ran out of the stadium. And I don't know why, man. It's arbitrary. I'm taking one data point.
No, but it's not that.
I can't get that out of my head.
But DJ, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, when I went back and I looked at the schedule, and I know people to talk about this, when you go and you, now that the season is done, and you look at the notable wins, the Lions' notable win is the opener against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, that's
who aren't the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who aren't what we thought they were. And so that's the thing. And I'm not saying because I just picked the Lions, but that's something to think about. They don't have a signature win over a team that we would deem to be better than them. And so this would be a huge task for them, given that, because we've seen the Rams knock people off. And if they get this thing humming and they're running the ball with Kyren Williams, nightmare to deal with. Both sides.
No doubt. Looking forward to this ball game.
That was the MCS Game of the Week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code MCS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. With code MCS, the crown is yours.
All right, last game, Buck. Monday night, Eagles-Bucks. Golly, I would say this is... Of all the matchups, this might be the one I'm least excited about, oddly enough. It's just everything else has this like sex appeal to it, and there's these great storylines, these great matchups. This is a Bucs team that won the worst division in the NFL against an Eagles team that's on an absolute free-fall collapse right now. And as we're recording this, I was reading that earlier today that Jalen Hurts hadn't even been able to throw a ball this week. Coming off that finger injury that he had on in an offense that and a defense that have just completely collapsed. I don't know how else to say it, but it's hard for me when I'm looking at this against a Todd Bowles defense who likes to dial up pressure all over the place, the way the Eagles have struggled against that. It seems weird from where that team was and viewed as a favorite in the NFC, you know, 6 weeks ago. I can't wrap my mind around how they beat Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks.
DJ, it's going to be a hard one. It's not only a hard one just because of the way that they played, but just how far removed from their identity they are right now, offensively and defensively. Everyone knows about the defensive struggles. They tried to transition to Matt Patricia. They're having a tough time. They don't tackle well. The physicality isn't what it needs to be. There's questions about the effort, particularly that of Jordan Davis and some of the guys up front. It's just bad. And then offensively, Jalen Hurts has had a ton of turnovers. They're not running the football. They're not committed to run the football to the way that they were last year or even when they've had their best moments this season with DeAndre Swift. And so you wonder, can Nick Sirianni get it all together? I think this, though. I think Nick Sirianni knows his team well enough where he should understand, like, man, a one-and-done scenario right now, you just talk about how hot the seats would be in Philly. I think that might give you some perspective to say, hey, man, let's go back to the basics. Let's run the football. This team is solid, but they're not great that we're playing. Let's run the football. Let's not mess it up. Let's see if they can beat us. Let's try and be simple enough on defense where we can play fast and do it that way. I think they do that, and I think they find a way to kind of sneak past the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night.
You know, I was thinking of, just as we're talking about this, if I'm Sirianni, I might go into the quarterback room with Jalen and go, Jalen, how's that finger? Ah, coach, you know, still doesn't feel right. Okay, let me see. All right, let me give you football. How does it feel when you do this? When you just it like this? Finger feel okay? We're fixing to ask you to carry it about 15 times in this game.
DJ, to me, it's one of the things that I don't understand why they refuse to play to the strength of their team. We were talking about the strength of their team has been their offensive line and their running game. Early in the year, DeAndre Swift looked like an all-star running the ball. I mean, he was a monster. You have Jalen Hurts, who you know, he had 15-plus touchdowns. Like he can run the football, and everyone's talking about the mush, but he has to run the ball. DJ, this is a game. Look, man, whatever we paid him. But now it's time to use him the way that he is best utilized. DJ, if he doesn't get 8-plus runs, it's a problem in the game plan.
Oh, I was going to say north of that.
I mean,
I'm talking 13-type runs in this game. And this offensive line say, hey, guys, this is on you.
You know, on you. I think it has to be that kind of game. And those eight, we're talking about design runs. I'm calling them from the sideline.
Yes.
Hurts, you're running. This is quarterback power, counter, whatever. And then if you get a handful of scrambles or whatever, but all hands on deck, man. This is a must-win game, obviously, because it's the postseason. But if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you want to get back on track because, DJ, all it takes is one game to flip the momentum of your season.
Get it clicked in, It's just hard. They have given you no reason over the last few weeks to buy into them.
I mean, lost five of their last six. I mean, and ugly losses, too. Like the last loss to the Giants, just an ugly, non-competitive loss. This would have to be Nick Sirianni's best coaching job to bring this team back together.
Yeah, well, they got to cover some good wideouts, too, in this game for Tampa, which I'd be a little bit concerned about. Not only got to cover them, you got to tackle them. They're not easy to tackle once they do get the ball, and that's not been a strength of the Eagles. So, man, it is a loaded slate of playoff games, and we are looking forward to it. Reminder, we'll be back on Monday to recap all of these games as well. So, appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll see you next week right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.